The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 15. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I have proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance of what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace turned towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. But it wasn't until we started to pack in readiness to move to London Coney that I recognised I was a bit of a hoarder. Some 20-plus cushions went into one box, and we had to wrap over 100 glasses. I think I find it difficult to let things go. If you dare look into the boot of my car, it resembles an abyss, full of the paraphernalia of a priest that she carries around, school assembly props and stuff. I will get round to sorting one day. On a visit to a parishioner one day, I was presented with a gift, a hyacinth bulb and a small glass pot to sit it on. So I popped it into the boot of the car and promptly forgot about it. A few weeks later, I was rooting around in the boot looking for a book or a file of some kind, and much to my surprise, I came across a beautiful, almost fully grown hyacinth. In the darkness and in the abyss of the depth of the boot, the bulb somehow found the willpower and the strength to grow. Oh, but the stem was slightly bent and some buds yet still to flower. But once brought into the sunshine, watered and nurtured, it began to flourish and reach its full potential. In many ways, it reminded me of my journey of faith and eventual call to ordination. Somewhere in the depths, the darkness, the abyss of my soul, a seed of faith had been planted and, unbeknowing to me, started to develop and to grow. And then encountering Jesus in late adolescence, I had the confidence to come out of the closet, declare my faith, lift it into the light, and others helped me nurture it. And one evening at theological college, I had a conversation with several fellow mature students. We shared together our testimony, our journey of faith, and our call to ordination. It was a humbling experience. Some spoke of experiencing an overwhelming presence. Some spoke of a sudden light of realization dawning on them. One man said, in one incredible moment, he surrendered to Jesus and turned his life around from potential crime to leading a Christian life. Another said, a high-ranking serviceman, that he suddenly felt a real desire to seek Jesus in his life. I couldn't share any road to Damascus experience other than to think back. Maybe if I'd experienced it then, the bulb in the boot. A little reluctant initially, I recall. The conversations that night were both affirming and overwhelming. Faith had been provoked and stirred up, and so many people in the room had answered recall. The link between our readings is the call from God and how some key Bible characters received it and responded. Isaiah was called to be a prophet through a vision of God in the temple. The amazing thing is that in that vision, Isaiah meets the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God himself. And his call is to cleanse Judah. The people need to trust in God again, not in false prophets or false idols. They are a sick nation, full of injustice. They need healing and restoring. Isaiah was called to fix Judah, but Isaiah felt he was unworthy for such a mission, a man himself with unclean lips. But that visionary experience caused sin and guilt to depart from him. And Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." And Paul was called to be an apostle by the vision of the risen Christ. So powerful was his call on the road to Damascus that Paul turns from persecuting and killing Christians to becoming a Christian. Maybe, just maybe within his soul, the faces of his victims portrayed such commitment and such love that something stirred within him. In this vision, he sees the resurrected Jesus. He surrenders all from that moment and proclaims the good news of the gospel. And in our epistle reading, Paul addresses the church in Corinth. He said that the risen Christ has appeared to many people. He appeared also to him. And he confesses, "For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain." Paul's response to that life-changing encounter with Jesus transforms him, and he gives up everything in response. And in that wonderful gospel reading this morning, Jesus calls Simon, James, John, fishermen a little jaded after a fruitless night of fishing, yet strong, resilient men with stamina, used to working as a team. They hoped so much for the day when the promised Messiah would appear, a Messiah who would rid them of their oppressors. And they, no doubt too, had been listening to Jesus preach along the banks of the Sea of Galilee, pricking up their ears to what he was saying. No doubt they were provoked, stirred up, intrigued. "Cast your nets again," Jesus tells them. And something about that man encourages them to do so. They haul in an enormous catch. "I will make you fishers of men," he tells them. They receive personal invitations to follow him. They respond. They drop their nets. They leave their comfort zones, their families, their jobs, and they follow him. Jesus seemed to provoke a reaction wherever he went. Some reactions were positive and people responded by following him. Others were merely angry or intrigued. Jesus is looking for a response even today. Putting one's faith in Jesus, responding to his call, has a dramatic effect not only on them but also on those around them. We hear of mixed and diverse experiences and encounters in our Bible readings today, but all surrender everything to respond to God. And in the Eucharist we share in this morning, we will encounter Jesus in the bread and wine. We may feel provoked, stirred up, intrigued. We may be given a personal invitation to respond. How will we respond? Being intrigued might not be enough. Some are called to be prophets. Some are called to be apostles and disciples. A daunting thought. But maybe we are called to serve one another, offer a shoulder, or give a listening ear. Maybe we are asked to care for our neighbour this week and be Christ-like in our community. That in itself can begin to transform us, and unbeknown to us, in the depths of our souls, something may stir and flourish, and we would have responded. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers.
Grant, O gracious God, that we may not only hear your word, but understand it and receive it into our hearts. That we not only receive it, but reveal it in our lives by living up to our calling as worthy disciples of you. Holy God, open our ears to your call, our eyes to your presence, and our hearts to your love. We thank you for all who have been called to your service. We give thanks especially this morning for Pat answering the call to be vicar of this parish. We ask you to bless all who are in ordained and lay ministry, especially Justin, our Archbishop, Alan, our Bishop, Michael and Richard, our area bishops, Jonathan, our Archdeacon, and Mark, our area dean. Walk alongside them as they seek to articulate your vision for us today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pray for all who are called to proclaim your glory, especially those who are thinking of attending the Diocesan Vocations Day here at St. Peter's next month. We pray for all who seek out the lost, uplift the fallen, and comfort the wounded. We pray for the work of all at St. Peter's who are reaching out into the community to bring your love to this village. We remember in our prayers this week all who live in Collingwood Drive and Collier Road and ask you to pour your blessings upon those people. We ask that you give us all the courage to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," and strengthen our faith that we may be willing at all times to heed your call. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, as you are gracious to us, make us sensitive to the needs of others. We remember before you the world's poor, where famine and destitution are wrecking lives and shattering hopes and dreams. We pray for the people of Venezuela in their turmoil, of Syria as another bout of fighting comes to a head. And we pray for our own politicians as they seek a way forward for our country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who seek to bring relief to others and ask at this time you bless the village food bank opening tomorrow. We pray for all who work for relief organisations and for the emergency services, for all who give their lives in the care and service of others. We ask that you protect them all as they seek to create a safer, more just world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for all who have encouraged us and have led us to this point in our faith journeys. We pause for a moment of quiet to offer a silent prayer of thanksgiving for someone known to us in our story. We pray for the young, that they may not be discouraged. We pray for all families in difficulty at this time, and for those especially who can no longer find love and care within the family home. We ask that all homes be places of comfort, joy, and mutual respect. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all compassion, we pray for the lost and dispirited, for those whose faith journeys once seemed so adventurous but are now mired in self-doubt and disillusionment. We ask that you bring them back to faith and trust in you. We pray for all who have lost hope or vision, for those who've lost confidence in themselves or others, for all who are anxious and fearful. Bring them the sense of affirmation and belonging that only you can provide. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those whose lives have been restricted by illness or circumstance, especially those who have been added to our prayer list recently. Angela Swan, Jessica Gibling, Alison Ellis, Beryl Fitzwater, Gemma Bennett, Ellie, Christiana Ashar, Phyllis Hill, Lynn Dedman, Rondell Quinlan, Peter Quinlan and Nola Quinlan, Natasha Stokes, Margaret Blackman, Cameron Martin, Steve Veal, Paul Murray, Carol McCarthy, Marjorie Jackson, Lenny Maskell, Pauline Welsh, James Mann, Linda Hill, Gary, Christine and Bob Jones. Be with them all in their time of need and bring them healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you call us to share with you in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Make us worthy of all who have served you faithfully and now who have been called home. We remember Anne Bayliss, who's died recently, and Edward Bentley and Roland Davis, whose anniversaries of death fall at this time. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord. Let light perpetual shine upon them, May they rest in peace and rise in glory. And so, Lord, as we leave this place at the end of this act of worship, may we do so, each knowing our own unique place in your great story. Fill us with the joy of serving you throughout our lives, and give to us all the hope of your eternal salvation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.